Today's gospel is Luke's account of Jesus preaching on the Beatitudes. And notice Luke only gives us four of the Beatitudes as opposed to Matthew's eight, but Luke also gives us a list of woes. And if you're like I was, you're asking, what's up with this gospel? What's wrong with being prosperous? Don't our riches allow us to do a lot of good? What's wrong with being full after a good meal? What's wrong with laughing? I laugh a lot. It's the best medicine for the soul, right? And what's wrong with people speaking well about us now? Isn't it great to honor those who we love and admire? What's wrong with any of that? And of course, there is nothing wrong with any of these in and of themselves. So if we're thinking that God doesn't ever want us to enjoy those things, which he created, by the way, for our well-being, then we're missing the point of Jesus' teaching in the Beatitudes. So these misunderstandings of our faith illustrate the importance of the second sign of a dynamic Catholic, and that is study. Remember how we're going through that parish-wide look at the book by Matthew Kelly, The Four Signs of a Dynamic Catholic? The first sign was prayer, a regular prayer life. So we've been sprinkling our homilies and bulletin articles with the importance of prayer and how to pray. Now we're at the second sign, which is study. That was the topic of the dynamic dinner duo that we had earlier in the week. Do we study our Catholic faith? Or has our study been limited to the rudimentary level of our eighth grade confirmation? I mean, how much about life did you really understand in the eyes of an eighth grader? Not too much. It's changed a lot, hasn't it? Well, the same with the life of faith. So that's why it's important to invest in faith formation as an adult, to take advantage of our Bible studies and the various small groups that our parish representatives have been offering that meet at different times and different locations. They all give us the opportunity to explore the whys, to ask those questions behind the precepts of our faith. So that we're inspired to actually live them. And so going back to the gospel, I admit I was not inspired to live out these Beatitudes. As a young man, they sounded like party poopers to me, right? But knowing that Jesus desires our good, our freedom, and our happiness even more than we desire it for ourselves, I knew there was something more. His teachings often turn worldly convention upside down. God's ways are not our ways, and so Jesus is often purposely provocative, inviting us to go deeper, because as he reminds us, it's those who seek that will find. What does seeking look like? It looks like taking the time for prayer and study, right? Those first two signs. And so I think it was back when I was a seminarian, back in the year before I was ordained in 2004, I studied and went deeper with this passage, and it was the teaching of the now Bishop Barron that was a light bulb moment for me. And going back to that, this is what he said. On the surface, this is a very strange teaching, and people have been scandalized by it. Again, blessed are you who are poor. Poverty. Well, no one likes poverty. Everyone tries to get out of poverty. Blessed are you who are hunger. Well, hunger is a curse. It was in Jesus' time. It still is now. Spiritual people have always strived to solve the problem of the world's hunger. More to it. Blessed are you who are weeping. Well, come on. This is getting more and more masochistic, it seems. All right, poor, hungry, and now sad and depressed. Depression is something that we all hate. We all strive to get out of depression. The last one is even more dramatic. Blessed are you when men hate you, persecute you, prescribe your name as condemned. Come on, being hated, persecuted, condemned, who wants that? And yet, we're being told we are blessed if we're in that state. How do we begin to understand what Jesus is getting at here? So Bishop Barron suggested this. I think it all hinges on this spiritual term, detachment. Detachment. We find it all through the spiritual tradition. Ignatius of Loyola spoke of indifferentia, that I'm indifferent to the goods and values of this world. I'm detached from them. Here's the idea, Christians, Bishop Barron says. We have an infinite hunger, the hunger for God. Nothing in this world can possibly satisfy that hunger. Therefore, when we hook that infinite desire onto something finite, onto something worldly, it frustrates us necessarily. And it locks us into a very unhealthy and addictive pattern. With this idea in mind, let's revisit each of these four. So I'm going to continue to quote Bishop Barron here because I want you to see the common recurring pattern he uses in presenting each of these four Beatitudes. Blessed are you poor. The Greek word there is makarios. Blessed, happy. Some say lucky is the best translation. How lucky are you if you are poor? Translated this way, how lucky you are if you are not addicted to material things. How lucky you are if you are not attached to material things. It happens, right? I convince myself that my joy depends upon amassing material things, homes, cars, clothes. So I struggle and strive, spend, work that I might get these things. And I get them, and I experience a sort of excitement about that. But soon, that excitement wears off because my hunger is deeper than that. My hunger is deeper than that. When the excitement wears off in my panic, I begin looking for more and more. Bigger house, more clothes, better car, better vacation. And I strive and I work and I finally get those. And then the excitement wears off again. And in my panic, I strive to get more and more. Before I know it, I'm locked into this dreadful, addictive pattern. How lucky you are, therefore, if you are poor, detached from material things. I'm not saying material things are bad. They're God's gift. They are fine in their place. But how lucky you are if the passion of your soul is hooked onto God, not to anything in this world. That's why Jesus says, the reign of God is yours if you're detached from material things. Then Bishop Barron went on to treat the second of the four. Blessed are you who hunger, filled shall you be. How lucky you are, how blessed you are if you are hungry. How can we translate this? How lucky you are if you are not addicted to sensual pleasure. Sensual pleasure. Look, the pleasures of food and drink and sex are good. They are God's gift to us. Catholics are not Puritans. No, sensual pleasure is God's gift. It's a good thing. But sensual pleasure is not God. What do we sinners tend to do? We tend to look to hook our infinite desire for God onto sensual pleasure, food, drink, sex. When we get these things, we feel their excitement, and then, of course, that excitement wears off. It always does. It always will. And so the familiar pattern sets in our panic, we try to get more food, more drink, more pleasure, more sex. I get those things, and the excitement wears off, as it must, and before I know it, I'm caught in this addictive pattern. Look at the rise of the pornography industry in America. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry. Is it a spiritual problem? Yes, not just a psychological problem. It's a spiritual problem because it means we are caught in this pattern. Therefore, Jesus says, how lucky you are, how blessed you are when you are detached from these things. Then Bishop Barron covered the third of the four. Blessed are you who are weeping, you shall laugh. Again, let's do our familiar translation. How lucky you are, how blessed you are if you are not attached to good feelings. Good feelings, emotional highs. You know that wonderful rush that we get when we are praised or we succeed. That's a good thing. It's God's gift. Nothing wrong with it. But good feeling, just like material things, just like sensual pleasure, can become addictive very quickly. When I get this rush of good feeling, well, I want it. I want it all the time. I'll seek it any way I can. And then, and when it wears off, I start striving for it more and more and more. And before you know it, my whole life has become a quest for good feeling, to feel up, excited. Do we have to look very far to see it in our culture? Not really. Are people addicted to all kinds of mood-altering and mood-heightening means, from drugs, alcohol, marijuana, cocaine, painkillers, mood-altering substances? Talk about a multi-billion dollar industry. Much of it, of course, underground, black market. You know, Christians, sometimes the very best things we can do in life don't feel the least bit good. Some of the best, most noble, most beautiful things we can do don't feel the least bit good. Acts of real love and real generosity and real compassion can feel anything but good. Therefore, how lucky you are if you are detached from this mania for good feeling. Fourth and finally, Bishop Barron reviewed the last of the Beatitudes that Luke mentions. Blessed shall you be when men hate you, when they ostracize you and insult you and prescribe your name as evil. How lucky you are, blessed, if you are not attached to the esteem of others. Christians, it's a very strong temptation, the esteem of others. People like me, people applaud me, people praise me. There's an enormous rush that we get from that. Is it bad in itself? No, it's good. But it too quickly can quickly become an addiction. I get praise, I need more praise. When the excitement wears off, I need more, and I need more, and I need more. And before you know it, my whole life has become nothing more than a quest to be praised. But praise is not God. Praise is a good thing, but it's not God. Therefore, how lucky you are, how blessed are you if you can hook your infinite desire onto God and not onto praise. I love that recurring pattern by which Bishop Barron laid out each of Jesus' Beatitudes in Luke. So that's why I kept quoting him there. But as you can see from our society, in which many in power have bent over backwards to make our fundamental freedom of religion into a freedom from religion, that universal longing of every soul for God that each and every one of us have must be channeled somewhere. If the soul does not know it is supposed to be channeled towards God, then it'll be channeled into something finite. And whenever we channel that longing toward anything finite, it'll never be enough. When we don't know that eternal longing is for God, that's when a culture of addiction sets in. That's why one of the fundamental keys of the 12 steps is what? That surrender to God, that higher power. We need to understand both the psychological and spiritual causes of addiction. So to address that, the spiritual side of that, this is why detachment or holy indifference that the Beatitudes cultivate is something all of us need, clergy and lay alike. As we have too often seen in the sins of our shepherds, just because we believe in the idea of God, that doesn't mean that God truly possesses our hearts. Just because we go to Mass or celebrate Mass, that doesn't mean God truly reigns in our hearts. This is why Jesus reminds us that we're not only to believe in God, but to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love him with all of who we are. In other words, for us to have peace in our hearts and minds, God must be our only love. That's what the eternal life of heaven is, right? And that one love of God will allow us then to love all other created things in our lives, whether they will be other people, such as family and friends, our neighbors, our community, or lesser things such as material riches, those material riches, the sensual pleasures, the good feelings and honor. That one love of God will allow us to love all other created things in our lives in the way and to the degree that will make us truly happy, truly blessed. And so I conclude with an image that I offer for your meditation for the rest of Mass. Many saints and scripture scholars have said that the Beatitudes are a self-portrait of Jesus. And when we look at that crucifix, isn't that right? Paradoxically, that image of Jesus is the picture of blessedness. On that cross, Jesus was poor, was hungry, not an ounce of sensual pleasure there, weeping and hated by both Jew and Gentile. It reveals that Jesus was truly free, that he did not allow any of these worldly things to get in the way of the Father's will for him, which, as mysterious as God's will can seem, leads us beyond fleeting pleasures to the eternal glory with God of infinite beatitude.